Welcome to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast, a resource for Lexington teachers to learn about innovative technology to use in your classroom, as well as tips and tricks to streamline your workload. I'm Lisa Rhodes, one of the elementary digital learning coaches.
I'm Rachel Kuberry, the district's assistive technology specialist.
And I'm Ann Kim Tenner, the high school digital learning coach.
Just a reminder, the opinions expressed are those of the individual hosts and guests. Make sure you check out the show notes for more information, resources, and other podcasts. Welcome to episode 16. I am Lisa Rhodes. This is our third episode during remote learning. We wish you and your loved ones well. In today's episode, Rachel and fellow DLC colleague Eddie Davey highlight a few innovative projects happening at the middle school level, and Anne will share some tips on using Pear Deck with students. And now for announcements. Information will be coming out soon about end-of-year technology collection. Please watch for notices and email announcements. And your DLCs want to hear from you. What went well for you during remote learning? What would you like to learn more about? We are in the process of planning both summer and fall professional learning and want to hear your voice. Please email us.
Hey, everyone. So I am here this week with Eddie Davey, who is one of our DLCs at the middle school level and a previous history teacher. So thank you for joining me this week, Eddie.
Oh, you're welcome. Thanks for having me, Rachel.
So Eddie agreed to join me today to sort of talk about what's going on in the middle schools. Just like Lisa was here last time to talk about cool things happening at the elementary schools, Eddie's here to catch us up on remote learning in the middle schools, give us some tips and tricks, and tell us a little bit about some interesting things that he's seen teachers do and helped teachers do. So Eddie, I would like to hear a little bit about what remote learning is like for you. You know, since our jobs have changed so much, and at least our environment has changed so much, what's remote learning look like? Like, what's your day like in helping teachers and helping yourself stay current in the tools we're using?
Sure. Well, like I said, Rach, thanks for having me. And a typical day with remote learning is quite different than a typical day at school. The days actually can look quite different from each other, but it's a lot of themes that seem to be developing as I go across. It's a lot of mix of meetings and training sessions and sometimes going into class with teachers. When I say going into class, going into sort of a live class online. And also a little bit of doing my own research and getting better on some tools or new tools that I haven't learned before. The meetings are great. I meet with teachers individually and walk them through how to do certain things. I also attend school-wide meetings where I'm sort of a resource for the technology and what's coming up or what hasn't been working well or has been working well. And training sessions are great. That's when I really like to show teachers what to do, go through sort of a simulation. And it's great when people, you know, say something like, oh, well, this is going to be great. Now I'm going to be able to do this. And I didn't think I'd be able to do that before. Now I'm going to be able to get feedback to students, or I'm going to be able to show them something, or I'm going to be able to give them a choice. So those are probably my favorite part, but lots of different things like that. There's no rhyme or reason to the schedule. Sometimes it's a whole bunch of meetings. Sometimes it's emergency. Teachers, can you help me?
Yeah.
So it's really a lot of up and down.
Yeah, that's what my schedule is like when people are like, well, what's your schedule like to book an appointment? And I'm like, well, it's different all the time. Now it's a free-for-all.
That's right. Yes. Organized free-for-all.
But it keeps me on my toes. Yeah, so that's right. It's all right. Let's start off by talking about some of the core G Suite tools that you have sort of seen like rise to the top and been really effective tools for remote learning. I'm curious, you know, what sort of recommendations you have there around our core G Suite for remote learning.
Yeah, there's lots of G Suite tools that have become incredibly popular almost overnight. Some of them that we've had for several years, and now they become super popular. You know, the basics of Google Docs and Google Slides have been used more and more. A lot of teachers were using those beforehand, but new features on with those. A lot of people needed to learn how to really manage Google Classroom more than they did in the past. A lot of things they thought were easy enough, now they're starting to do more things like making copies and things like that. So probably a big enhancement of Classroom.
Yeah.
And then one of the ones I'm really glad about is Google Forms. Google Forms can be so effective in teaching. A lot of people think it's just a way to give a quiz or a test. But I've worked with a lot of teachers, particularly in foreign language, where you can take Google Forms and really start to develop a pathway to learning for the kids. Kids who are scoring, or not even just scoring, but getting a lot of things right, can be sent in one direction. And maybe if they don't get as many right, they can be sent to some tutorial materials or instructive materials or easier questions, and hopefully get right back on track very quickly. And then maybe go back onto the path that they were on beforehand. And there's a lot of foreign language teachers, particularly at Clark, who are using the sections based on answers feature of forms to really let kids have a pathway and to meet them where they are, give them some feedback, give them some support, and move on. I love it because it's a really challenging thing for teachers to think it through for the kids. And it makes me wish I was teaching sometimes, because I'd really like to make my own and have the kids use them.
And so that feature of sending kids where they need to be was called?
It's the go-to sections based on answers within Google Forms.
So it kind of makes your Google Form like a choose your own adventure. Like, based on their response to this question, they get sent to one place. And if they respond differently, they can get sent to a different place.
That's right. And you could actually, particularly with the little kids, you could actually do a choose your own adventure, you know, type of thing where it wasn't feedback based. But that's right. What you just described is correct. Based on the answer, they go to a certain place.
And you reminded us that Forms doesn't have to just be used for question answer sort of format, that you can really embed some nice content in Forms. So you can use some of those sections to provide information or other resources to students. So.
Absolutely. You're right.
So I, you know, and listening to you talk over the last few weeks, Eddie, a tool that I have heard you talk a lot about is Edpuzzle. Not a G Suite tool, different tool. That works within G Suite, but I would like to hear, what is Edpuzzle and why it's been particularly talked about a lot during remote learning?
Sure. So I should say first, I loved Edpuzzle long before we got to remote learning. And
that's a great tool.
Yeah. And I remember one time sitting at the kitchen counter with my daughter, and she was only in elementary school. She's a high school kid now. And she was saying how she loved using Edpuzzle with her classes. And it's such a great combination. You take a video that is either teacher made or made by a professional or whatever, found on YouTube, and it makes the video super interactive, where teachers can handpick questions or points to make for the kids, handpicks them and really makes the video interactive to push the learning out of the video. When we were kids, we watched the video in class and went home. But now it's like, okay, watch these 3 minutes as this expert explains something and answer a couple of questions. Right away, the kids find out if they're right or wrong. Right away, the teacher can see how the kids are doing and where the gaps are and where maybe the video is not doing what they want. Right. The more creative the teacher is and the more patient they are creating the activity, the better learning experience it can be for the kids. And the data pushed right back to the teacher from Edpuzzle is really, really neat. They can find out so much about what the kids are doing so quickly.
Right. And I feel like this is a tool, like you already said, that kids really like using.
You know, when we were little, you know, the video was a big deal. But then now it's today, video is everywhere all the time.
Yeah.
So some kids really like it for learning. So it's a mix of that. And you've heard teachers say, oh, I wanted them to watch the video, but they didn't watch it. When Edpuzzle, you know exactly how much the kids have watched, if they've watched parts twice, if they've watched parts three times, and exactly if they're getting their the information you want them to get. And you can give them feedback right on the spot again.
That's awesome. Cool.
You can tell I like it.
I really like Edpuzzle too. So. And it integrates, like, can you post to Classroom?
You can. One of the keys is to get your classes pulled from Classroom into Edpuzzle. And then it's very easy to go back and forth. With a little more savvy, you can get it onto the choice boards and that type of thing. I've learned a lot more through remote learning, but yes, it definitely goes with Classroom.
Okay, great. So you just in our short conversation, Eddie, you already talked about a couple really cool tools that some people probably have heard about, some people have probably used, and some people probably haven't used at all. So in regards to the tools you talked about, but also just, you know, how to keep up in remote learning as teachers are balancing their curriculum and what they want to be teaching students, and how to do that with the tools that we have and reaching kids when they're at home with Chromebooks instead of in the traditional classroom. Mm-hmm. So what advice do you have for teachers who might be struggling with that?
Sure. Well, so two things. One is use the tools we have that can give you really quick data on how the kids are doing. Edpuzzle, Google Forms, Socrative. We have a good handful of tools that can get you immediate data on how the kids are responding to your questions. And I know teachers don't always love multiple choice, but it gives you a place to know if they're understanding the basics really quickly. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, I just encourage people to reach out to their digital learning coaches. We are busy, but we're all techno nerds and we love saying, oh, look at this. And we're happy to do groups. We're happy to show people how to do things. We're happy to help write things with and for the teachers. So the DLCs are there. We can always say, no, we don't have time right now, which I've had to do a few times in the last couple of weeks. Yeah. But we can usually find a time or group people up. So I'd say use the immediate feedback tools and reach out to DLCs.
Yeah. And if Eddie hears the same question a couple times or from different teams, he has done, you know, different trainings offered to his building, and the DLCs group as a whole has done, you know, trainings offered to the whole district. So as they see patterns for people's needs, there's also more group-based trainings that they're able to offer too. So definitely, I agree with that. Reach out to your DLCs.
Sure.
Okay. So let's end by talking about what's working in remote learning, and like what are some positive experiences you've had or you've seen teachers have, or projects that have been really, really helpful?
Yeah, you know, we've seen some really good things. I think people hesitate to tell you about the frustrations, but I've seen and worked on some neat stuff. I worked with a history teacher at Clark who really combined screencasting, which he had done a little bit of, but he combined screencasting to deliver content with Socrative questions to let the kids respond quickly. And he used the Socrative with the immediate feedback tool. So kids were getting feedback on their answers right away. That was nice because it was a mix of a couple of different tools that that I really like. Gotten a lot of good feedback on teachers using Edpuzzle. I usually sort of show them how to use it. And then I hear, hey, Eddie, thanks for Edpuzzle. Then a more recent one, I worked at one of the science teachers and we were in class together live, which is wasn't going on as much in the beginning of remote learning. But she had Pear Deck going, Pear Deck for Google Slides, with a series of pre-planned questions. And she also had pre-planned content to deliver. And so we used Pear Deck to deliver information, then to take a pulse right away on what the kids were getting right or wrong, then to take a pulse of the kids on what their opinions were. It doesn't always have to be with the feedback tool that it's right or wrong. It could be, what do you think, or what's more important, some opinionated stuff. And that was great because we had a good handful of kids there. We were showing them videos. Mostly the teacher was doing it. I was in support. Showing videos, getting the media data, letting the kids answer questions. So that went well. And then I spoke earlier about the sections based on answers, which I know a couple of our foreign language teachers are going off on. So those are some of our good success stories. I think there's more, but I think that sort of covers a little bit of a range.
Awesome. We're almost out of time, Eddie, but is there anything else you want to share with our listeners?
I think it's to go back to what we just said before. You know, ask the DLCs if you have a good idea. Another one I should mention is ask the librarians if you have something with research. I know Carolyn Kelly, who's a librarian at Clark, is very resourceful and is helping out with some research things with some of the social studies teachers. So ask, I shouldn't say experts because, you know, we're all learning and it's all new, but ask people who might have been through it before. I don't like having to do remote learning. I wish we were in school, but I do think there's lots of really neat things out there that you can use to help kids learn.
Yeah, and I'm feeling, you know, I'm I've lost track of how long we've been home, Eddie. but I am feeling in the last couple weeks, like I and the teams that I support are really hitting their groove and making some really positive curriculum execution decisions and really doing some great work, which is fun to see. So yeah,
I agree.
Cool. All right, Eddie, thank you for joining me today. This was super fun, and it was nice to talk with you and hear what's going on at your school.
Yeah, it was fun. I really appreciate you having me, and hopefully someone enjoys what we talked about.
Yeah, thank you.
You're welcome.
Hi, it's Anne here, and today I'm going to share about Pear Deck. Pear Deck is a slides add-on that allows your slides presentations to become interactive. Once you've launched the add-on in a set of slides, you can add questions like multiple choice, short answer, drag a dot, and more. To share your presentation, students will type in a short code to join your session. During your session, you can ask questions and show the class the responses and discuss. After your session, you can download the responses into a spreadsheet. If you'd like a tutorial, Eddie and I are giving a workshop this Thursday, May 21st at 9:30. You can join us by clicking on the link on the LPS Technology Resources page, or ask your DLC for more information.
Thank you for listening to the Lex Tech in 10 podcast. Don't forget to reach out to any one of us or your building digital learning coach for questions and assistance. That's what we're here for. Also, check out our website, gg.gg/LexTechIn10, where you can find show notes and other resources. Do you have an idea for a future podcast? Would you like to be featured on a future podcast? Email us at lextechin10@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.